Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Formula One is heading back to Baku for the Azerbaijan Grand Prix and the first sprint weekend of the year with a new rules twist. Hello and welcome to the F1 Strategy Report. My name's Michael Laminato and this is a preview of Round 4, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Last year's race in Azerbaijan was intriguingly poised after 9 laps of racing. Charles Leclerc had started from pole, but he was pipped at launch by Sergio Perez, who controlled the pace out the front. Ironically, Leclerc's strategic lifeline came on lap 9 via teammate Carlos Sainz, who suffered a hydraulic failure that left him stuck on track and triggered a virtual safety car. Leclerc dived into the pits, leaving Perez and Max Verstappen in the lead, but setting himself up for an ambitiously long one-stop strategy. Well, that was the plan anyway, had his engine not popped in a smoky failure shortly afterwards. Verstappen overcut a slow-stopping Perez to take the lead, and the Bulls cruised home in formation finish. I caught up with Matt Clayton last year to debrief what could have been on another disappointing afternoon for Ferrari. Now, if we turn our attention to the race, unfortunately, it was defined almost exclusively by a variety of Ferrari power unit failures. This decided almost every element of this Grand Prix. Very unfortunate for Ferrari. The first one was lap 9. Poor old Carlos Sainz feels like he can't build any momentum at all this season. He triggered a virtual safety car when his hydraulic system let go at turn 4, I think it was. And that triggered Charles Leclerc to pit very early, lap 9, to switch from mediums to hards. Interesting in this is two different things. One is that Ferrari jumped for that decision. They decided to pit, and not only did they decide to have him pit, I think even he decided for himself. They both made the decision roughly at the same time, and I guess it worked out for them. There was no stop disaster in the pit lane. But also that Red Bull Racing decided to pit neither driver. Now, Charles Leclerc had dropped a second at this point. Of course, he was jumped off the line by Sergio Perez. We ultimately don't know how this race was going to play out because, spoiler, of course, Charles Leclerc did not finish. But what can we speculate that this means for Ferrari? Because certainly Red Bull Racing is very confident they had the race pace to win this regardless. Do you think Ferrari perhaps thought that as well?
What's interesting to me is this race was very close to not playing out for those 10 laps where it was a strategic battle the way it did, because I think Red Bull probably would have called Perez in if they'd realised early enough and he was past the pit lane entry at that point. And my understanding is that Leclerc made that decision just before Ferrari told him to come in. He did the opposite to what Perez did. So I don't know if Red Bull intended to have both cars stay out, but then they were committed to doing that after Leclerc had dived into the pits and Verstappen kept going. So, you know, you accidentally had this situation where for 10 laps there, and we'll get to why the strategy didn't play out in a minute, but for 10 laps there, we had Ferrari maybe jumping the gun a little bit, because I think they realised that they were going to be vulnerable because of the straight line speed of the Red Bull through the last sector and down the 2 kilometre freeway start-finish straight. I think they realised that they had to do something, because I think being able to pass a Red Bull on that straight, even with DRS, was going to be difficult. So I wasn't surprised that Ferrari jumped when they did. As much as it was optimistic they were going to be doing 41 laps on the hard tyre, I was a little bit surprised that Red Bull chose not to react even on the next lap. But in the end, I guess it didn't play out, but you do have to wonder whether, look, I think we'll get to Perez in a minute, but I think Perez had kind of dug his own grave to a point because of how hard he got in those first 9 laps after he got to the lead. So I don't know strategically he was still in the game at that point, but it was interesting that Ferrari chose to jump so quickly, given that neither Red Bull blinked, did they?
Red Bull said part of the reason they didn't pit, and yes, part of it was simply because Perez didn't have the opportunity to by the time they'd realised what was happening, was also that they just didn't have the long-run information to know if 41 laps was going to be sustainable. They were certainly very sceptical that was the case. Christian Horner was also adamant that the car just had that Sunday pace regardless. I think what's really interesting here is that we knew, to rewind a little bit, before the Spanish Grand Prix that Ferrari had a little bit of a Sunday problem. Very quick on Saturday, race pace, tyre degradation in particular, was not optimal compared to Red Bull Racing. They reckon it's fixed, but we don't really know, do we? Because we just don't have enough race information based on that. And do you suspect, having seen at least Max Verstappen's side of this equation, having seen how well he executed this race, admittedly, with no pressure, that maybe Red Bull still does have a little bit more in reserve on Sunday?
Look, particularly in a situation like Baku, yes. I think that particular circuit certainly played to the relative strength of that car relative to the Ferrari. So I think, you know, Red Bull had them probably covered regardless in Baku. I mean, look, we don't have enough evidence, as you were saying, from previous races. Monaco is an anomaly. You can throw that one out. Spain, we never really got to see how that race was going to play out. But on a Sunday, the Red Bull is clearly the better car, but I think that margin was accentuated because of the track layout of Azerbaijan and the way those two cars are set up. Red Bull all year has been incredibly slippery in a straight line and on the straights, and there are no longer straights in Formula One than there is in Baku, is there?
Exactly right. His margin at the end, Max Verstappen, was 20 seconds, which is pretty big considering second was his teammate, Sergio Perez, and Perez had been leading the race early on in that first stint. That's a gap of around 0.6 of a second a lap once they switched tyres over the last 30-odd laps. The team said this was a little bit more to do with Sergio Perez having a qualifying focus in terms of his set up, and obviously he was very quick in qualifying, whereas Max Verstappen had a more of a race focused setup, even though he didn't quite have as much perhaps straight line advantage over Perez. Maybe he would have thought that was the case. I also thought that was interesting, though, was the way they treated Perez with the pit stop. So brought him in first. The stop was a little bit slow, I suppose. That's no one's fault, of course, but it did mean there was no opportunity for him to strategically get ahead of Max Verstappen, be near Max Verstappen in the second stint. Is it reading too much into that? I mean, we're talking a lot about whether or not Sergio Perez is able to contend for race wins and all that kind of stuff. It was clear he didn't have the pace ultimately this weekend, but it also felt to me like he wasn't ever going to win this race, roughly, when we got to the pit stops.
I'm assuming you've got me on this week because Jos Verstappen wasn't available for you. it's interesting, wasn't it? Because Perez made an incredible start and got to the front, I think a couple of things happened. It's like, ooh, he's in the lead. And he was pulling away at such a rate in those first few laps that it was pretty clear that he'd taken too much out of his tyres early. And that's not something we say with Sergio Perez. Mm. He is the tyre whisperer. He is the best at this. So he was clearly into some difficulties. He had to stop first because the pace was not there. He was complaining about braking traction, and it clearly wasn't going to be a long first stint for him. The cynic in me wonders if the slow pit stop was convenient, shall we say. They would have found another way. Look, with Ferrari out of the equation, Red Bull were clearly going to find another way to maximise the points advantage over the lead driver of the other team in the championship fight that was no longer in the race. That's just, you know, that's just good business, quite frankly. It's just being sensible. But even regardless of that, I think the way Perez drove those first five or six laps was a guy who perhaps didn't expect to have, A, to be in the lead, B, to have the lead that he did. And it was an unusual race for him in that normally he's a little more patient than that. So perhaps it forced Red Bull's hand strategically. Unfortunately for him, he got the rough end of the pineapple with the pit stops. But look, I don't think he had, after those first probably six or eight laps of the race, he wasn't in Verstappen's league in terms of pace. And look, in the end, Verstappen did make what was effectively the race-winning pass on his teammate on lap 15, and Perez was told no fighting, but it wasn't really much of a fight from where I sat.
It was almost more commentary on radio, wasn't it, than an instruction?
Correct.
No fighting, yeah. Now, before we look ahead to this weekend's race, I want to remind you about a new project we're working on in collaboration with Evergreen Podcasts called Pit Pass F1. Pit Pass F1 is a brand new podcast following the World Championship. Every morning from Friday to Monday of a Grand Prix weekend, you'll get a bite-sized episode in your feed filling you in on all the on- and off-track action you might have missed and what to watch out for on the day ahead. It's hosted by some of the paddock's esteemed journalists and some names you'll recognise from the strategy report as well. Julianne Sarasoli, Chris Medland and Luke Smith. Plus, you'll get previews from me ahead of every weekend. Subscribe now to Pit Pass F1 to keep up with all of the action from the paddock at this weekend's Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Search for Pit Pass F1 wherever you get your favourite podcasts. So now that we know what happened in last year's Azerbaijan Grand Prix, what should we expect this season? Baku is one of the calendar's biggest outliers, combining elements of classic tight street tracks with one of the longest straights in the sport to present a tricky setup challenge for the teams. Low downforce configuration tends to be the favoured way, with cars hitting 340 km per hour and above into the first turn. But it has to be a balance. There's time to be won and lost in the twistier stuff as well. That sounds perfectly fine for Red Bull Racing, which has supreme straight-line speed. But perhaps it's bad news for the draggy Aston Martin car, which has struggled all year in the speed traps. But the weekend overall is a bit of a jump into the unknown for everyone, with F1 introducing a new sprint format this weekend that will reduce practice time to just 1 hour on Friday afternoon before Parc Fermé conditions lock setup later that day. Friday qualifying will set the grid for the race, but on Saturday there'll be what's being called the Sprint Shootout, a similar but shorter three-segment qualifying session to set the grid for the sprint, and it replaces second practice. The sprint is the same as it's always been, but the results won't set the starting order for Sunday. F1 hopes this will mean drivers will push more, knowing they can't ruin their Sunday grid spots, having already locked them in during Friday qualifying. Will it affect the competitive order? I'll be back next week to debrief all of the action from Azerbaijan. Until then, you can subscribe to The Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast and part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Special thanks to Ben Loke from Bloke Designs for the show artwork, and our theme music is by Simon Hosford. My name's Michael Avenato, and I'll catch you next week to wrap up the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!